recorded live.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I am your host, Pastor Dan. Today is the 25th day of June, 2017, and we've entitled today's program, Libertarianism is Biblical. Our guest will join us here in just a few minutes, and that will be Jay, who is the co-host of Downtown White Police. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shema, and welcome to the program. Let's see here. I want to remind you also we have a website, www.pastordan.net, and we do want to thank our supporters out there. Every little bit helps a bunch, folks. And again, before we bring Jay on here, I just want to real quickly remind you that George Washington told us that when government takes away a citizen's right to bear arms, it becomes the citizen's duty to take away government's right to govern. This is further backed up in our state constitutions. And as an example of that, we have Pennsylvania's right here, Article 1, Section 2. All power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their, meaning the people, their authority, and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness, meaning ours, not our government officials, our peace, safety, and happiness. For the advancement of these, meaning our peace, safety, and happiness, for the advancement of these ends, they, meaning the people, have all at all times an inalienable and indefeasible right to alter, reform, or abolish their government in such manner as they may think proper. And since the topic today is government and how that will play out, let's bring Jay onto the program. Jay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you just fine, and let me just tweak the volume here a little bit, and if some of the listeners could give us some feedback on how we're coming through, that would really be helpful, because I, on the talk show portion of our broadcasts, I don't have the same software and the same indicators, so I'm flying in the dark, so to speak. It's a little bit like if you're a pilot, you get VFR rated, which is visual flight rules, and then there's IFR, which is instrument. So talk shoes like flying VFR and Eurofolk radios, instrument flying. So just a little analogy for those that have any kind of inkling what flying a plane is all about. But anyway, how you doing today, Jay?
Doing good. And you know, with our topic, it's I don't want to trail off on another subject, but it's funny you mentioned with libertarianism, government, and firearms you mentioned earlier. Did you hear about the Congress was trying to pass a law, pass a bill that would allow congressmen to carry firearms ever since the shooting a few weeks ago where, you know, that guy that left us showed up and started shooting Republicans? Now all of a sudden they want to pass some bill or some law that says that they can start carrying the hypocrisy. Up at his standard. It's like, oh, you mean you passed an anti-firearms law, but suddenly you don't like
it? Yeah, when their life's on the line, all of a sudden they can see the light, huh?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yes, I thought it was quite interesting. They're just oblivious to the hypocrisy of what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, and Christ warned us about their hypocrisy, and we've covered that verse in the Bible there in Luke many, many times. And it's funny, but as you go down the rabbit hole of discovering who's behind all our misery, and we know who's who in the zoo on this channel, when you go down that rabbit hole, just how many of these people exhibit exactly what Christ told us about. I mean, again, the Bible proves itself to be true. They are the consummate hypocrites, are they not? I mean, and we're not talking about just the Second Amendment, but in virtually every topic you can imagine, they are the consummate hypocrite, are they not?
It's true. It's true. They're involved in just what's the saying? They cry out as they hit you.
Yeah,
a
friend of mine told me a slightly different version. He said the Jew will cry out as a victim as he's cutting your throat.
Yeah, and you can't get more hypocritical than that. It's almost like, sometimes I look at them, I'm like, I swear these people are trying to, you never know what conversations are going on in the internals of their religious ideology. But sometimes I look at these guys, I'm like, sometimes I think they feel like they can get closer to God if they break all of God's rules.
Yeah, again, we've talked about the term in the Hebrew is shatan, which we call it Satan. It just means adversary. It has nothing to do with whether it's supernatural or not, or walks on two legs and is another man. It's just talking about an adversary. And in the Greek, it's diablos, which we translate devil. But it's saying adversary, and it's not only an adversary to you and me, Jay, and everything we're trying to do as rightful Adamites walking this earth, but they're an adversary to our Heavenly Father too. So if you think about that, these people who are antichrists, they are against everything that's decent and moral and rational and logical. They just can't stand it. It's a little bit off topic, but real quickly, many, many years ago, shortly after coming to know identity, I was working in Georgia, and a good friend of mine was there with me, and he was the one instrumental in leading me down that path that led to identity. And we were working together, and we're at a plant, and we ran into this fellow who was working in our career field, but he was a local guy. And we got into a discussion with him. And he was talking about being a member of a local rock band. So we kind of joined in conversation, and he's telling us the story. So we, typical guys, younger, obviously. So we asked him if it was true about the groupies with a lot of these bands and all. And so he kind of smiled, and he says, well, yeah, it's kind of true. He says, weird thing, though, and again, we did not do anything to prompt him to say this. He just said it on his own, but he said, you know, the really weird thing is the Jewish girls. And I said, whoa. I looked at my buddy Larry, and I said, really? Tell us more. So he said, yeah, they're kind of a strange bunch. He goes, they like to do it every way but normal. He goes, if it's some kind of kinky or out of the ordinary or maybe even somewhat perverted, he goes, they really get into it. But if it's just normal intercourse, no, they don't care for that. They don't want anything normal. They want it abnormal. And I thought, here again, out of the blue, another little tidbit of truth comes out, which supports everything that we've been saying for a long, long time. And of course, there's many, many other examples of this kind of thing that I've heard over the years. But again, they are truly anti-Christ, which means they're anti-Yahweh, anti-decency, anti-normal. And you look at our government, everything the government is doing that's unconstitutional, that's not good for we the people, you find these same termites eating away at our foundation over and over again. At least that's the way I've seen it. How about you and your studies?
Yeah, I've actually heard that before. I won't go into the story, but I've actually had somebody say something like that to me before. I'm like, really? And it's funny you bring that up. I've heard that before. Now, we got a good topic we want to talk about, so I don't want to keep trailing off because, we'll end up on another tangent if we keep going on that. But,
okay, yep, you're right. Real quick, though, before we go on, do you mind telling the folks a little bit about your YouTube channel that you co-host, and then we'll get into the topic?
With James Lancius, Downtown White Police. James has been working real hard lately, so he hasn't had a chance to put anything out, but he calls me every week. We talk about it every week. We're getting ready to put some more stuff out. And, people have topic ideas, make a comment. He sets those comments regularly. Everyone goes up, he looks at them. So if you make a comment under any of the videos out there for the Downtown White Police YouTube channel, a lot of interesting content, two cops talking about what's going on. You know, he's got the veteran past experience. I've got the modern experience. And, we compare notes on what's going on and how to deal with the problems that are coming. And anyway, you know, that's just based on the channel, and just let people know that for our fans that are out there that might be listening, you know, working on it. We're going to put some more stuff out. We're just James has been working real hard. He's been moving around a lot. He's still campaigning or doing best he can to campaign to try to get Trump to let him be the South African ambassador. We hope that comes through.
Yeah, we're all praying that it does, too. Of course, it would be a wonderful move for both James and for our kinfolk over in South Africa. So, obviously, adversaries are not going to support that. But the fact that you two guys are so busy, I think that's a good sign. And not on the program today, but I've got a lot more information about folks here in Central Florida. I'm just astounded that within the last 4 months, how many either listeners to this program or on the political side of things, there are like-minded folks right here kind of congregated in the middle part of Florida. It's just blowing my mind, but we can cover that later. We'll get into the topic now if you want.
Okay. If you don't mind, I'll give a little, you know, let people know kind of how we got on, want to talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good.
Most of people, Glenn, especially that are the younger my age, you know, we went through this process where, I was a typical, young 20-year-old guy whenever 9/11 happened and I didn't pay attention to the news. Well, after that, all of a sudden I started paying attention to the news. I remember we used to watch MSNBC because for some reason I used to think Ashley Banfield was kind of cute back in the day. For all I know now, she might be cute or whatever. I don't know, but I'm just saying, that's kind of what got me started watching the news. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, MSNBC's full of a lot of crap. I can't stand these guys. Then I started watching Fox, and I'm like, wow, these guys are full of a lot of crap, too. Nobody's getting, I don't like these guys either. Then AM radio, and, as far as the political spectrum, you start off kind of Republican, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in, a lot of us that are all the racial truth now, started out, we're libertarians for a while. And I was telling you, we were having a conversation about that, and I was talking to you about some of the things that I like, about the, it's tough being a libertarian cop, trust me. And, the idea of, like, legalizing all drugs and less government, really cutting government back, putting everything on the individual responsibilities. And you start telling me about how, well, that's the way the Bible would read. And it blew my mind because I've never, ever, if somebody would have used those two words in the sentence, Bible law and libertarianism, I would have been like, nah, those two shouldn't be in the same sentence. Are you speaking Greek? And, but you amaze me with what's like in reality. No, the Bible does not want to be in your business. God does not want to be in your everyday, or at least how similar it was to what a libertarian, almost an anarcho-capitalist society would look like. But at the same time, with the level of, racial rules and certain laws that was actually comparable to some stuff you read about National Socialism. And I was just amazed. I'm like, wow, it's a little blend of the two ideologies that a lot of young people find themselves conflicted between these days.
Yeah, amen to that. You're right. And I think that's a lot of people's problem in society, no matter what political affiliation they have or whatever. I've noticed over the years, as soon as you bring up God's law, they kind of cringe. I think it's because they confuse what we teach with the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches that want to be in your business. I grew up in the Methodist Church, and I've attended many other different Baptist denominations, and I've even been to Lutheran and Catholic services. So I'm familiar with them all, and they get the concept that that's true Christianity. That's the true faith and the true teachings, but it's not. So when you approach them with this subject from our perspective, they kind of tune you out and don't even give you a chance to explain things. So that's what was really beautiful about the conversation you and I had. It was a personal one, so we went on. I think we went on for over an hour and a half. I mean, we were on for a long time together. And but when people get to hear the true gospel and the true message of Yahweh's law, they'll find that, as you did and many other people that I've had a chance to talk to, our Heavenly Father does not want to be in our business. That's not the intention. The rules that he gave us are really light. They're not overly burdensome. They're commonsensical, very rational. They work. And so, you know, it was designed that even a child would understand the common law. And as long as you follow this basic premise, which is do no harm. If you don't ever read a Bible, folks, you can trust this saying. If you just follow the simple rule of do no harm to yourself, do no harm to the environment, do no harm to your neighbor. In other words, as one of the patches on my motorcycle vest says, give respect, get respect. That's just another biblical saying said in a different way. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Give respect and you will get respect. So again, just if you don't want to study, you don't want to read anything, keep that one rule in mind and you will be able to follow 95% of the biblical rules, which are do no harm.
And in libertarianism, their quintessential core law is called the non-aggression principle. And it's basically you do not do anything that is considered an act of aggression upon somebody else. That doesn't mean you can't argue with them. You know, aggression would have to be something that where you trespass, something of violence or force to force somebody to do something. Any type of, they call it the non-aggression, but it's principle, which is very similar to the principle of the Bible, as you were explaining to me, of do no harm. That was the first thing we hit on. I'm like, well, I never heard of that, because, as you said before, any somebody would bring up, you know, religion or Christianity to mix in with the government, everybody just cringes right away, because we all see it as overbearing and totalitarian, and we're like, at this point, pretty much everybody's had enough government intrusion, and we're like, well, that's like trading one intrusion for another, but the way you explain it, I'm like, no. You know, and I couldn't believe when you're like, God does not care if people want to smoke crack in their house. God cares if they get high on crack and do something dumb in the middle of town. That's what he cares about. I'm like, that's very libertarian.
Right, exactly. And just to inject something here real quick, you know, the verses in the Bible, like in Isaiah and other places where it says the government will be on Yahshua's shoulders and we are his representatives, so the government is on us. That's kind of a mistranslation. I think they put that in there so we, the sheep, would give obedience to what we call, quote, government today. The little g god that they've tried to make themselves. But that word actually means dominion. And it means the kingdom of Yahweh, the kingdom. He is responsible and will be in authority over his kingdom, not government, kingdom. So, again, this fits in with libertarianism in the sense that we were talking about a monarchy, whether it's at the state level or the entire United States, how that would work. And, again, the idea is that the monarch, most people don't have an interaction with the monarch. Very non-intrusive. He's basically overseeing the big picture. He's not going to get down to the local shire level or the county level on very much of any matter. And so it is in the scripture when it says that he is the overseer and will be our monarch over the kingdom. It'll be the same principle. And the Bible supports this. Libertarianism, or the fact that government, very limited government, is a very biblical concept. If you look at the law of Moses, when he was given the law and he set up the kingdom, Israelite kingdom, he set it up the same way. You had Moses at the top, but he delegated authority clear down through the captains of 10,000, the captain of 1,000, the captains of 100, the captains of 50, and the captains of 10. So there was a layer system that all matters should be handled at the very lowest levels. You don't get big government. Even when I was a boy, you never heard about Washington, D.C., hardly at all. I mean, today you can't go 10 minutes without something happening in Washington, D.C. in front of your face. When I was a boy, I remember nothing on the radio, and most people read newspapers. That's where they got a lot of their information back in the 50s and into the 60s. The newspaper, again, very, very little in there about Washington, D.C. at all. And that's the way it was supposed to be. We shouldn't have federal law and federalities of any sort in our faces on a weekly basis. That should not happen. It should be at the state and the county level. That's the highest it should go 99% of the time. So we've only digressed from that over the last 50 to 60 years, and woe to us, because the founding fathers did not envision a very strong central government that was imposing their will over we the people on a daily basis. That's not our system. And I'm getting sick and tired of hearing people calling us a democracy. That shows their ignorance. When any politician, any person in this country refers to us as a democracy, they are identifying themselves as one of two things, either the enemy or they're dumber than a box of rocks. In either case, they're not somebody I want in my foxhole with me.
Well, you know what would be interesting? Let me give you a scenario. Let's say, back here in Florida, let's say you were the governor of Florida, suddenly. Not more than the governor. You were able to, like, you were put into a position where you basically you're like the dictator of Florida. How would you rearrange the laws right away? What do you think you would do in the first few months?
Well, the first thing I would never, ever want to be referred to as a dictator. A monarch, a biblical monarch, is not a dictator. So that's the first thing. We got to throw that out because that is a negative connotation. Yahweh, when he comes back the second time, will be our monarch. He's like a dictator in the sense he's all-powerful, but he's actually a monarch. And, I've thought about that from time to time. What if I were thrust into the position of being the leader, the governmental leader of something like Florida? What exactly would I do? And that's a really tough one because we've got so many problems in so many areas. But I think one of the very first things I would do is proclaim the biblical law as the law of the land and start dismantling man-made laws. So one of the very first things that would happen is property tax would disappear. That would go away. Now, here in Florida, we don't have an income tax, but we've got a ton of other taxes. They will all disappear as well. Registration of cars and driver's licenses will go away. It will become voluntary. It'll be highly recommended that people get training and suggested that they have a certificate or whatnot, but that's only because you will need it, because if you harm somebody, you're going to go to court. And let's say you wrecked your car into your neighbor's fence. Well, if you go to court in front of Christian men, believing men, which is what should be in the jury box, and we will institute that right away as well, they will go back to being the people's courts, not the state's courts. But if you had to go in front of a jury of your peers, which is something else that will change instantly, what the word peer means. So when you go in front of these men of the community who know you, it would behoove you to be able to say, look, I've got my training certificate. I went to such and such private school and passed with a 98% my driving training. So this was truly an accident. You guys know me. The local bartenders know me. I don't drink and drive. I don't do drugs and drive. This was truly an accident. So the jury would probably say, yeah, you're right, and reduce the amount that he'd have to pay. He still has to pay for fixing his neighbor's fence, but it isn't more serious than that. Another case might be is if you ran into a person and you injured them or even killed them, now it's vehicular homicide. You've taken somebody's life. You're going to stand in front of your peers, and you're going to have to justify this again. You're going to have to show, are you a responsible citizen? Did you take the courses? Just like for firearms today, we recommend people get training. We don't force them to go out and get a piece of plastic that says, okay, all of a sudden now you know how to fire a weapon, because the plastic means nothing. We've got people in this country that can't even speak English or read English, and they've got driver's licenses. That just shows you how totally ridiculous and useless the piece of plastic is. How in the hell can you come into a country, you can't read the signs, you don't know how to speak the language, or you can't read the signs, but you're okay to drive a car? I mean, just ludicrous. I mean, the whole thing with the registrations and all these different things the government's put upon us is totally ludicrous. So the first thing I would do is start just cutting away all these layers of government and taxation. Get rid of them. We don't need them. They hold the people down because your power is in the people. And that goes along with what the National Socialists teach, and I believe even the Libertarians teach. Power belongs at the lower level. If you free the people up, they are inventive enough and creative enough, they can solve almost every problem we've ever had. We don't need government. Government is only here, as George Washington said in the Pennsylvania State Constitution, is to keep the playing field level and to be a sort of middleman if there's a conflict between the citizens of the state. That's about it. Other than that, we don't need them, all right? We don't need big central government. We don't need big central bankers. That would be another thing that would change almost instantly. Florida would issue its own currency. It would forgive the debts. It would outlaw all of the usurers and the central banks in the state. This is probably what would get me assassinated within a week. But it would be something I would promote almost immediately. Get us back on a non-interest-bearing money system, as the Constitution states and as the Bible states, and free the people up and take these layers of bureaucracy away so that our people could go back to being what they were before. And I think it would be amazing, the inventions, the new technology, the innovative ways to govern ourselves that would make us prosperous. I think Florida would be the go-to place, to be honest with you. I think every entrepreneur, every inventor, every person, public banking, I'm looking into that. I'm hoping to have the lady that runs the Public Banking Institute website as a guest here in the near future talking about this very issue. So, you know, that would start us to recover from all of this insanity we have today, and I think it would be a good start.
And I can tell you one thing. Some people might say, "Oh, well, the economy of Texas. You know, how are you going to pay for the other things?" Well, I'll tell you what. You got to rid of driver's licenses, and that means we don't need the DMV anymore. We can get rid of that. So that's a lot of government waste that no longer has to be spent. And you talked about with me before, I assume, you know, all these drug laws will go out the window, and I'll tell you, from being on the front lines of that, that'll save tons of money and effort. Because
yeah.
criminals don't get high and steal. They steal to get high. And they need to do that because the prices of the drugs are so high, and the only reason the price of the drugs are so high is because law enforcement's chasing it around. We're a big transit tax. The price of drugs would drop, it would bottom out, so there would be no need for guys to go out and run burglaries, these little theft rings, to be able to pay for their drugs. And they wouldn't do it, because why would they go through all that effort when they could just rustle up $10 or $15 and go get whatever they want? And that'll save a lot of money right there.
Right, exactly, and you're correct. I didn't mention it, but you're right. All of these idiotic laws that we have on the books would go away instantly. Again, it gets back to the very basic principle of do no harm. If you have not harmed anybody, you have not broken the peace. If you have not broken the peace, there's no reason for a peace officer to be in your face for any reason. And so therefore, like you said, if you want to light up a joint, or I don't particularly care for the hard drugs, but, you know, people are going to do stupid things to themselves. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But you do no harm to anybody else. If you do, now the sword of I don't even like the word government, but the sword of the magistrate, now he will not wield it in vain. That's what the Bible says. If you have murdered somebody, if you've committed grand larceny, if you raped somebody, okay, now we are coming after you. Now you have done harm. And therefore, now we will come after you. Another thing that would happen almost instantly is the environment for businesses in Florida would change instantly. The high corporate taxes, they're going to go away. All forms of taxation are going to be either done away with or greatly diminished, because taxation is theft. Taxation is a way to control people and to diminish the free enterprise system. Entrepreneurism is what makes us strong and great. And again, I believe that if we were to do this, Florida would become a magnet for the brightest in every category you can imagine, because insurance companies would be outlawed. People are going to have a lot of money in their pockets because government's going to stop stealing it. The central banks are going to stop stealing it. Credit card companies are going to stop stealing it. Corporations coming in and using it to generate new law for their benefit, as in Monsanto and some of these other Jewish-run monster companies that are poisoning us and all that, they will be outlawed. Okay, first of all, no Jew will have any political power in Florida. Okay, and that's a biggie right there. Every Jew will be stripped of citizenship and of any political power whatsoever, because they are not of our kind. They are not of the founding fathers, and therefore they will not have any political and or otherwise power. So that will make a much healthier environment. You won't find GMO products promoted. You will find organics. You will find natural health practices promoted, basically getting back to the way our Heavenly Father intended it. The naturopathic forms of medicine will become the norm, as it was in the 1910s up through the 1930s in America. Alternative medicine was what we have today. Okay, so less than 100 years ago, homeopathics and natural medicines and natural remedies were considered the norm, and we even had medical schools teaching this, herbology and iridology and all these things, but the burn, cut, and poison of the modern medical mafia, that was considered alternative. Okay, so in less than 100 years, through Jewish propaganda and Jewish control of the medical mafia, we've turned it completely around to where they've got people thinking that taking pharmaceuticals and being cut and poisoned by chemotherapy and radiation, that somehow is norm, but going out and getting an herb out of the backyard or in the forest and making up a tincture or a poultice or something with a natural herb, somehow that's alternative and somehow that's not good. And yet that's exactly what the Bible says, that he put the plants and herbs here as our food and our medicine. And so, Jay, things would change rapidly. I mean, very, very rapidly. But the very first things to do is start taking the chains off of the people and the burdens off of the people and scaling back government at every level.
I think it would amaze people how fast people would notice a difference if that would happen. Because, I mean, just you talking about the medical things, people don't realize how many beneficial plants and things that are out there that are actually illegal to manufacture into anything under the current law system. You're not allowed to go out and cut these roots and mix them into stuff and, you know, experiment with these things. You're not allowed to do that under the current laws. And people would say, well, that's because, you know, we don't want, you know, like the carpetbaggers that we have after the Civil War coming down here and selling, you know, tainted products. Well, different than then would be somebody sells something tainted and somebody gets hurt. Well, they, you know, they've just been harmed. But Russian has just been put on somebody. You've been selling something that you don't know what it's going to do to somebody. You got somebody hurt. So they would be in trouble. People would look for them. And I'll tell you what, you also said that, you know, and I agree with you. Oh, yeah, the rest of the country and all over the world would be wanting to come after you. They would be like, oh, my God, if people see what he's doing and they start copying that, we're going to lose control of everything. So they would come after you, try to assassinate you. But I'll say this. I assume you would reinstitute the militia system, and you would have an army of guys volunteering to guard you. About time people started noticing how much nicer it was around here. And, you know, I imagine another thing. I'd like to get these foreign oil companies that are pumping our oil offshore, and everyone thinks it's off Louisiana. People would be amazed. They start looking for all them oil decks that are off Florida. You know, you could be like Alaska and be like, no, if you want to pump our oil, you're going to pay us for it.
No, actually,
Alaska, where people take their resources and they have to pay everybody in the state a stipend for doing that.
Right. And here again, the whole idea of the people that are in rulership, I don't even like the word government because it means to mentally control you. That's what the word government means. So I don't like that. But to be the ruling monarch, the biblical monarch, everything that is done with the idea of making it better for the people. That's his whole purpose. He's like a patriarch of a very large family. In fact, the term for many of the Christian monarchs in Europe was grandfather. Even Adolf Hitler himself was referred to by the German people as their grandfather, because everything he did was to promote the German people. Which, it's their land, Germany. I mean, come on, that's common sense. So, and we know that the lies told about Germany and Adolf Hitler are astounding. I mean, they would fill volumes of books, all of the misinformation and outright lies about what was going on in Germany. So, but here again, people have to understand that that's what the biblical monarchy concept is you put people in charge who are of your kind and are going to look out for your kind. That's the whole definition of nation. That's the definition of a biblical monarchy. That's the whole purpose of having a system with a hierarchy, is somebody looking out for the people, because they're busy raising their families, growing the crops, mining, cultivating, building, whatever, on a day-to-day basis. They don't have time, and a lot of times they don't have interest in, quote, politics or the running of the country or the state. And so they trust, okay? It's the same thing in the Bible. Who do we trust? We trust our shepherds. We should be able to trust our shepherds, who are the pastors. Unfortunately, today's pastors have betrayed the sheep. But we should be able to trust them, because that's the biblical way. The hierarchy is our Heavenly Father Yahweh, down to the priests and the prophets, and from them down to the people. In fact, that's the definition of a priest, is a person who represents the people to Yahweh, and in turn Yahweh to the people. He's like an intermediary. And so the people who are at the level of the state rulership would be the same idea. And again, this monarch would not be sitting in a position of power all by himself. He's going to have a body of men, from a person representing each county would be part of a council, a privy council, so to speak. And they would not only assist the monarch in his decision makings, but they would be there to monitor him to make sure he stays on the up and up, so to speak, that he doesn't overstep his biblical bounds. Anybody that thinks that this can't work, you just need to study the history of Ireland, which I believe has a succession of 800 kings in their past. So they survived 800 successive kings and survived. So I think it can be done. If you look at Yahshua when he comes back, he's coming back as a monarch. He's not coming back as part of Congress or a parliament or any of that nonsense. The rulers of Europe were all Christian monarchs. They were all of the bloodline of David, just as the Bible says. And it was the number one target of the Jews to destroy the Christian monarchies. That's right in their protocols of the learned elders of Zion, and in other writings besides that, that they detested the Christian monarchies, particularly the Russian Tsar, because they were such a formidable barrier to the Jews getting away with what they would like to do. And what they would like to do, just take a look around at the societies of the white nations today, and you will see what the intentions of the Jews has always been, because that's what we're living in today, and it's not very pretty, is it?
Not at all. I think everybody knows that. And how to get it out there to everybody is a tough question. But I mean, it's heard this. People all of a sudden, oh wait a minute, Pastor Dan's rule of law. I wouldn't have to pay any more property taxes. I wouldn't have to buy a license plate every time. You know, maybe once or something. You know, I wouldn't have to go back to the I don't have to go to the DMV anymore. You feel like, well, that sounds pretty good. Normies that, like, you know, I mean, they at least have a basic understanding.
Well, here again,
more time and more money in your pocket. They at least know that.
It would be less intrusive, more money and time for the people, and also take a burden away from our peace officers. I mean, they're using peace officers today as armed revenue agents. That's not the job of a peace officer. So if you take away all this stupidity that we have today, the licenses, the registration, and all this other nonsense, it does nothing to make life better for us. it's all about government and control and revenue. So you get rid of all that, so the people have less burden, they're happier, obviously, and the peace officers are freed up from that stupidity, the boredom of some of the jobs that they were given to do and everything else, and a peace officer would become the enforcement of Yahweh's law, and they would spend their time doing what they were originally intended to do, which is go after people breaking the peace. If a drug dealer is found selling drugs to a minor, okay, he's done harm, so therefore he's a target. The rapist, he's a target. Murderer, he's a target. Okay, the traitor to our nation, our people, he's a target. So legitimate targets. And here again, instead of burdening the peace officers, our job would be to assist them with commonsensical rules and equipment, and not the idiocy that goes on today. And also, they would not be a part of an armed military for the government to make sure government stays in power. The little G God that we've got lording over us today think that these police officers and National Guard and all that, they're there to protect the status quo of the government. No, that's not their job. And so we would return that system back to what it was intended to be as well.
Well, and at the same time, I've said this, we talked about it, me and James talked about it with Downtown White Police Jail. If you encourage, I think citizens should be taught the what a citizen's arrest is, when you can effect an arrest, what the laws are on it, what you can do, what you can't do, and encourage citizens to take the law into their own hands and to show initiative, because criminals are actually way more scared of some citizen that wants to get them than cops running around wanting to get them. They're scared to death of the idea some citizen's going to step out of the bedroom there in the middle of burglarizing, and that person's going to decide, I'm going to handle this. That's what scares them. And if you had a whole town or a county that was slap full of people like that, that just understood that, if you had one or two cops that, they did it as profession, they understand what the rules are, they can sit and watch a guy, somebody's got to be arrested and put in the jail. But other than that, you could have a town of 100,000 people and have like five cops. Why? Because almost everybody above the age of 18 is a cop, basically. They know what the rules are, and they can assert the authority if they see somebody committing a crime right in front of them. They can do that. And
you mentioned one of the things that would change in implementing the militia system. And you're right, I would support that. The citizen soldier is a concept that's a part of our history. But I would marry it to what my buddy Chuck up in the panhandle of Florida, he has a program he calls Deputize 'Em. And what he's trying to do currently is work with the county sheriff's departments and have them deputize the men of the county into the sheriff's department. His contention is that by being deputies, even under current law, you would have a badge, you would be under the sheriff's direction, but you're a citizen soldier. You're not going to be down at the police station. You're not going to be at roadblocks and doing checkpoints for alcohol and all this other nonsense that they're doing today, which is completely unconstitutional. The deputizing plan would do pretty much what you're talking about. Every able-bodied man trained in the proper use of firearms and procedure would be a deputy to the sheriff, and they could make arrests. They could handcuff people. They would. Be also part of the army that would come to the defense of the state should there be an outside force try to impose either try to conquer or impose their will on the people of Florida. So that program would marry in with what you're talking about very, very well. The deputies have a twofold purpose. They're citizens, but they're able to, like two or three neighbors get together, say you and I live next to each other and we saw a drug deal going down. We don't have time to call the sheriff. So we get two or three of the buddies in the neighborhood and we go down to the drug dealer and basically arrest them. We've seen them do it. We've got witnesses. We collect the evidence, and we arrest them. If he resists or attempts to harm us, then we have the right to defend ourselves, as all people have, including peace officers. So, you know, it would work great. I think it would work great, and we certainly would implement that. And you're right. I believe the criminal element would fear that system much more than it does this joke of a system that we have today.
You know what I predict? I predict eventually we'll have a thing where we'll keep tally of it. There'll be multiple incidents during the year of times when the criminal calls 911 and says, "Man, I'm hiding in the attic of the house. This whole neighborhood's looking for me. Please come get me."
Yeah, that would happen. You're right.
I believe that would happen quite a bit. He's like, "I don't know, man. They got my car. They're armed to the teeth, and they're walking the neighborhood looking for me. I'm in the attic of this house. Please come help me." I know that would happen.
Yep. I. You know, we're talking about this, and I get juiced up talking about it because I know it would work. I mean, you think about this, and only Yahweh could open up a door to allow this to happen. But if it did happen, Florida would become a paradise. It's similar to what I've said about Cuba. And I know a lot of Cuban folks down here, and we talk all the time, and they know that they were betrayed at the Bay of Pigs. I found out listening to a YouTube last night that John F. Kennedy, they blame John F. Kennedy, and I've said for years it was not John F. Kennedy's fault. And just last night, I've read a book about the Dulles brothers, John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles was the, how should we say this? He was the brainchild of the current CIA.
Yep.
But John F. Kennedy fired Alan Dulles as head of the CIA over the Bay of Pigs incident. Interestingly enough, when JFK was killed, Lyndon Johnson made Alan Dulles part of the team investigating it. And yet Kennedy had fired him over the Bay of Pigs. So here again, the Dulles brothers were criminals. They were murderers. Our government still holds them up in high esteem, and yet they were thugs. They were criminals. There's a whole book about the two brothers and all the shenanigans they did. It's called The Brothers, the secret war against the United States of the world. And so here again, you know, it just shows you the criminality of these people. And, you know, that sort of thing would go away. I mean, we would disband all of that stuff and get back to I don't know what you would say. Well, just basically get back to a biblical lifestyle, which would eliminate all of these draconian agencies and things like that that basically lord over us. And they commit so many acts of criminality, and they're never held accountable. That's another thing that would change. In the state of Florida, there is no getting out of being accountable. No insurance, no laws can be written that makes like we have today. Drug companies are not able to be sued when they hurt people with their drugs. The companies that make in the vaccines are not allowed to be sued, not allowed to be taken to court. I mean, that's ludicrous. We've got government officials who believe that they are above the law. Nope, government officials actually are more under the law than we the people because they're in a position of trust. That's a biblical principle. When you're in a position of trust, there is a double requirement, a double responsibility on you to be a forthright individual. And so when you commit a crime or you've done something wrong, your punishment will be double what it would be for just you and me as regular citizens. So, you know, there would be some dramatic changes, but they would all be for the good. And that's what's exciting about that. I mean, we've watched the enemy getting away literally with murder for so long. People are fed up. The Trump election proved that. I don't particularly care for Trump as a man, but the movement behind Trump is what's important. The fact that it showed there is still a very, very large portion of America that believes in the same principles that founded this country. And I believe at the state level, and this could happen in other states too, not just Florida, but if we would put together a plan to implement government the way God intended it to be and return our states to godly principles, they would flourish. They would turn around in just months, actually. And, you know, we have cases where this has already happened. National Socialist Germany went from a completely debtor nation to a tremendous competitor against all other European nations in only 3 years. 3 years under National Socialism, they went from the bottom, the cellar, to being the major competitor. And that's why the Jews declared war on them, by the way, was the fact that there was competition now by the German people on the markets. That's the reason. It had nothing to do with National Socialism. It had nothing to do with Adolf Hitler. They became the focal point. But it was the fact that Germany was now in a position to give competition to France and England and the other demonic individuals and their Jewish bankers. Okay, so, you know, we've got Iceland has proved that we don't need central bankers. They put them in prison. They forgave the debt. So we've got an example there. The nation of Spain has spent a year without a central government. They're doing just fine. So, you know, and all through history, this stuff has been repeated. So these are not new concepts. They started in the Bible. Our people have lived under them numerous times. So we know they work. It's just that we're under a strong delusion, as the Bible says, at this time, the end of the age, our people are under a strong delusion and believe that we need government and central bankers or else everything would be chaos. It's just the opposite. If you want to see normalcy come back and honesty and rational thinking and actual bliss on this earth, then we need to get rid of large central governments. And also, let me throw in there, all of this so-called terrorism we see today is being put upon us by governments. There are no real terrorist groups. Every one of these groups are mercenaries being funded, directed, and supplied by central governments, because the terrorism is to keep you and I from becoming united, to keep us afraid, just like the Jew Henry Kissinger said in that speech in France. We will use terrorism to get the people of the world to not only accept it, but beg us for world government. Well, I got news for you, Henry, you little lying bastard Jew. No, we don't want your central government. We sure as hell don't want world government, because we've already seen that central government doesn't even work at the national level. So we sure as hell do not want your Jewish, demented world government.
And I'll tell you what. You know, a lot of guys have tried different political things. They would, you know, they would say, well, starting a new party or putting a new idea out there, you know, it can't work, but it can. Because the radical thing about libertarianism that freaked a lot of people out, freaked a lot of conservatives out. These would be our normie conservatives that at the same time we want to pull our hair out about, but let's just face it, they make up the majority, is they do at least understand they're paranoid that, oh, my God, there'll just be degeneracy everywhere. It'll be, you know, they don't even understand this really what chaos or anarchy is. But they're like, oh, anarchy, well, under your laws, there's certain things that will not be okay. Like, there will not be all this bringing in foreign individuals all the time. There will not be this acceptance of degeneracy. There'll be no such thing as we're gonna have a court case on whether, like, right now in Florida, there's a court case between two homosexuals where the court is going to have to define what is an intersexual relationship between two homosexuals. The idea that that is in court is, at the Florida Supreme Court, is just insane. Like, you know, those things just would not be tolerated. They would not be happening.
No, it would not be. And you broke up a little bit as you were describing what that court case is all about. Would you mind saying that one more time?
No problem. It's got to do with two homosexuals that had a domestic disturbance and a fight, and then they were getting a divorce. And anyway, they were married. They're getting a divorce, and the case has gone to the Florida Supreme Court. The Florida Supreme Court is going to have to define what is an intimate relationship between two men. And that is just sick. That is just sick. Like, you know, one, you don't want courts deciding what that is. You don't want courts. That's why, I mean, you're basically inviting the court systems into your bedroom. What a nightmare. And that's what they're doing. And it's like they're going to have to define what that is. Well, you know, in your system, that wouldn't even happen. You wouldn't even be dealing with that.
No, absolutely not. And again, you know, people have forgotten the courts belong to the people. The courthouse was just the local meeting house. It really wasn't, quote, a courthouse, because the same building in the middle of town would be where they held church on Sunday. They would conduct any kind of civic matters during the week. So it was an administrative building. If there was somebody being accused of something, they would turn it into a courthouse. So it's all the same building. It's just a building. So the idea that this court system that has been built up by these black-robed assholes, and that's really what they are, excuse my French, but they're pompous asses, most of them. Like many people in government today, it's gone to their heads. They think they're little gods, and no, they're not. So the idea of a building where we hold court, it's more of a system and not a building. There's nothing sacred about that damn courthouse. There's certainly nothing sacred about that black robe pompous ass that sits behind the bench. And there's certainly nothing at all sacred about these lawyers. They are from the pits of hell. So the court would return back to the people, and it's basically the townspeople. If there's a case, as this case, first of all, you're right. Two homosexuals wouldn't even be discussed because they wouldn't be in Florida because they could be hunted down and put on trial, and if they're found guilty, they could be executed. So homosexuality is not going to be a problem in Florida. So, but if there was a conflict between individuals, you would have the accuser and the accused. And both of them have the exact same rights, which is to come in front of the referee and the jury of peers who know both parties, and each of them presents their case, their testimonies, and their evidence to the 12 jurors, and then the 12 jurors will pass their verdict, and they will also decide the sentence, and the sentence will come right out of Scripture. So all of this simplifies things tremendously. And we got to remember another thing. The founding fathers said, justice delayed is justice denied. There is no way on God's green earth that somebody should be sitting in a jail cell 2, 3, 4 years waiting for a trial. That's a sentence. That's a sentence. 4 years in jail waiting for a trial? No. Your trial happens in days. So there's no backlog because, first of all, a lot of things that's being adjudicated today, as you stated already, don't belong there, okay? The government does not belong in matters of family. It does not belong in matters of charity and all these things. I mean, those belong at the local level. So, again, the whole premise is you solve problems at the lowest level at all times possible. The only time it goes any higher is when there's no solution at the local level. So, again, as you said, if we've got deputies running around, a whole lot of problems are going to be solved right there at the local level. It's never even going to go to the county level. It's going to be right there at the local level. So everything gets simplified. You can't think of things the way they are today with the huge backlog, tons of bureaucrats, tons of law enforcement.
You wouldn't even have prisons.
No.
You wouldn't even have prisons.
No, there would be no prisons. Yahweh's law stipulates two forms of punishment, which is restitution and execution. There is nothing biblical. There's nothing ethical. There's nothing rational about a prison system. And America, during its grandest days, did not have a prison system. The prison system came into existence, and since the time of its coming into existence, right along with central banking, the IRS, and all these other draconian measures, America has slid down, 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 down. When we were actually a Christian constitutional republic, we did not have a prison system. The only reason for a local county jail was to hold somebody overnight for the court to be set up, and to bring the witnesses in and to select a jury. That's the only reason. It was just to hold somebody temporarily until the trial. And the trial had to be in a very, very short period of time. It only had to be as many days as it took to get the referee there and to make sure that all – because, again, the whole premise of a trial is for justice. It's not a contest for one to try to win. The whole purpose of a court system is to come to justice, truth, and justice. And it's not a place for prosecutors and district attorneys to try to get a good record so they can go on to higher politics. In fact, I think it would really be great, Jay. One of the first things you'd see in Florida is previous government officials on trial for murder, extortion, treason, obfuscation of testimony and evidence in trials, wrongful imprisonment, wrongful death. There'd be a whole host of people currently in government who would be behind bars waiting for their day in front of the jury to explain to us why these government officials did what they did when they were in power. Because we got a lot of criminals in the government. We've got a lot of criminals in the police departments. We've got a lot of criminals in the county sheriff's offices. And they would be some of the very first people that the new government would go after.
Could you imagine? Like, I'm just trying to think of my, like, all of a sudden get up there as we're cleaning things up, they're closing down prison and whatnot. They're like, all right, well, now we're going to launch investigations into everything that's bad that's happened in the last 40 years. That's, you know, government corruption and influence on that. Imagine the exodus from Florida. It's funny. You dirtbags and jerks would be leaving left and right, and people from other states would be moving in. Good people would be moving in because they'd be like, I don't want to go to that state because, I'm just imagining the mass exodus of dirtbags. Because with somebody in charge of the state that actually had access to all those files and everything and could have had access to all the stuff, these people in, in state governments that they know they're corrupt as hell would be going, we can't stop them from looking at those documents. Right now they do it. They stop people from looking at a lot of stuff. They'd be like, uh-oh, this guy's going to open up all the books. They would sleep. They would just leave, which I think is a good thing. Fine. We'll just be like, all right, don't come back to Florida. You have a lifetime warrant. Imagine issuing, like, a warrant for Henry Kissinger or something like that. Like, hey, don't bother to visit because we show up. We're going to run.
Oh, yeah. There would be warrants out for the Kissinger types. Absolutely. They step foot in Florida and they'll be arrested. Pelosi and the rest of them. Harry Reid, all of them. Traitors, criminals, the Clintons. Donald Trump doesn't have enough balls to do it, but we certainly would. Because he did it as a ploy to get elected, we mean business. If these criminals from the feds and the FBI, CIA, et cetera, come into our state, they will be scrutinized and vetted. And if they don't pass the litmus test of being legitimate, and if they're up to no good, they will be arrested and put on trial. And if they've committed a crime, guess what, guys? The old saying of a license to kill because you're with the federal government, well, that doesn't apply in Florida anymore. So if you've committed an assassination, which many of them have, and we find out, you're going to hang, okay? There is no defense for criminality. There is no defense for keeping secrets because it's a national security issue. Because now you've reached a point where everything is a national security issue, and so they hide the evidence. I've actually had this personally happen to me. It was on a much lower scale, but it was in an industry where we had a lot of, quote, police-type things going on for security matters, and I was let go. And when I tried to find out why I was let go, everything was a security matter. Now, can you imagine that? Just the reason for my being laid off, I couldn't see it because it was a security matter. Well, it's because the woman in the security department didn't like me, and that's why I was let go, and they didn't want that to come out. So I've personally experienced this, and that's why I would personally see it. It ends. I want nothing more than biblical law. I don't want money. I don't want power. I don't want any of that stuff. I'm just sick and tired of the injustice that's in this country anymore. And the state of Florida would decide that it wants to become a shining example, as Christ said, to be a light on the hill, as Christ said, to actually be true believers and not pretenders, as we've got today, and the Catholic Church hiding these priests. We're going to hang you, boys. We find out you're a pedophile, you're going to hang, all right? The church ain't going to save your ass. The Pope, even though he's not the real Pope, real Catholics don't consider this clown we've got today as the real Pope. But anyway, it doesn't matter because you violate the law. There is no diplomatic immunity. There is no church immunity. There is no government immunity. There's no CIA, FBI immunity. There's no immunity. You commit the crime and you will die. You will be punished. Murder, you die. Rape, you die. Kidnapping, you die. And we may even institute the old law from the Bible of usury being a death sentence as well.
Now, whenever you talked about this last time, for everybody listen, I'll bring this up. I'm making no secret. I'm into a lot of men's rights stuff. I don't like the way men are treated in today's world, and that, you know, the rampant false allegations that are out there, and they are staggering how bad they are. You know, some people would hear this and they would go, well, it sounds like you guys are going to be really strict on your law. You're going to be rushing people through court. Guys are going to get committed, you know, guys are going to get put to that didn't do the crime. And I would retort on that to say that, you know, something that people may not have caught on to, because I didn't the first time you explained it, but you corrected me on it, was that when you say everything's handled locally, if that crime, somebody commits a murder in your county is going to try it. Your county is in charge of it. There is no such thing as state court. Everything is kept local, and another part of that is it keeps everybody a part of it. Because, and that person's executed in your county, not up northern Florida, Florida in some prison locked in booth. I think you should have a public execution, and the reason why is because all the citizens need to realize that you're a part of that county. You have a vicarious responsibility to make sure your county officials are straight, and if somebody is executed that was innocent, you're partly responsible. It makes you a part of it, and it makes your life, it'll prevent what we have now, which is a bunch of people that are just oblivious, and they don't care. They're like, oh, well, I don't care, you know, I mean, it amazes me how people don't understand that what the court systems and what the prison systems are doing and how screwed up they are, and it's just because most people don't get involved in crimes and where they have to deal with the law. They just read stuff on TV, and, you know, if all that stuff was handled locally, and, you know, when somebody was getting executed, it was downtown in the middle of the day, and, you know, everybody had to be a part of it. If something went wrong, then everyone's vicariously responsible, and in turn, that will make them more responsible about who they have as their leaders, how a court system has gone through, and if a trial needs to go 3 months so evidence is gathered for whatever reason, that's fine. It'll be stipulated, and no more of this delay, and if all the laws are based on the Bible, you don't need the 6 tons of case law and paper law and statute books that are, you know, a foot thick and read like stereo instructions from the 80s.
Yeah, there would be no more case law. First of all, there'd be no more attorneys, no more lawyers. We don't need lawyers. God's law is quite simple. Every single person needs it. We don't need some pompous ass with a law degree claiming like he's the priest today from the old days that we're too stupid to understand it, so the priest is going to come in and tell us about the law that's in Latin. The lawyers are no different than the old priests under that system in the Catholic Church trying to make everything as clouded and confusing as possible. So that's going to go away.
And that's a good thing. I've said it before. Modern law enforcement, it's like a cult. If you read the definition of a cult, it's like a cult.
Yeah.
They got people that only congregate with each other. They've got a special doctrine called the law that only a few people understand. And depending on your rank within the system, like your first cop around, he may be a member of the cult, but he doesn't understand the ins and outs of all the law in the courtroom. You need lawyers for that. They're like priests. And then you need bishops. They're judges. And it goes on and on from there. People can figure out where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
But that would be gone.
Yeah, it's a false religion, and it'll go away instantly. Now, you mentioned a couple of things that triggered some of our previous conversations, and I think we need to bring it up here because it's so valid. First of all, you're right. The people have to get back in being engaged in life. I mean, mom and dad, just having a child is only the beginning. You're going to have to be parents again. The state's not going to do it for you. Your neighbor's not going to do it for you. Churches aren't going to do it for you. You had the child, by God, you're going to raise the child and do a good job of it, or we're going to be on your ass. You're going to be involved. There is no more taxing for schools. There is no more institutionalized education systems. They're going to go away. If there are any, they will be 100% private. There is no public anything. Everything is private. So if you want an education, then you're going to see to it that you get it, and you're going to pay for it. Jay personally doesn't have any children. Why should he pay for my children? I have 6. Why should he pay for their education? That's ludicrous. No. I had them. It's my responsibility. I will pay for them, and I will choose the schools. I will choose the method because there's lots of methods. It doesn't have to be in a building. There's lots of methods to get taught how to do a vocation, or to be a carpenter, or to be a silversmith, or to be a teacher, whatever. There are ways to get that knowledge outside of institutions. They are no longer going to be public. They will be private. They will be funded by people. That way the institution is beholden to the people paying the bills instead of the state. The state has nothing to do with it, okay? So we return that. Now, and the same thing will be in the courtrooms. The people will be part of it, as you said, because if an injustice is done, the people are going to be held accountable. And that includes everybody involved. And Yahweh was so adamant about this that we used to have a saying in this country, and it's in the Farmer's Almanac if you want to look it up. It is better that 100 guilty go free than to hang an innocent man. That's how important it was. It's better that you err on the side of innocence, presumed innocence. It's better to err and let 100 guilty go free than to hang one innocent man. That's how serious it is. Today, we don't take it serious at all. So the people are responsible, and here's how they're responsible. They're going to be in the jury boxes. They're going to be part of the trial. They will also be part of the execution, the people. And for instance, I did a study on this, and I did a speech on it back up in Michigan. Why did the Bible have different forms of execution? Because you could be hung, you could be stoned, you could be run through with a sword. There were multiple ways of execution. And I showed that there's a correlation between the execution and the crime and the victims. For instance, a lot of people say, well, stoning is such a horrific way to kill somebody or to execute somebody. Well, really? Okay, so we've got this person that took your child and tortured them for 8 hours, raped them repeatedly, and then strangled them to death. You think that I care how that person dies? Please, you got to be kidding me. So this person has raped a member of our family, tortured and killed them. They have been found guilty. There's no doubt whatsoever in anybody's mind this person did it. In fact, the person even confessed. You take that person out and you stone them. Now, why do you stone them? Because the execution is performed by the members of the family. It does two things. It gets rid of a dirtbag that does not deserve to suck air, and the family gets to be part of bringing about that person's death. There's closure. Can you imagine the anger between mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles of a little girl that was taken out and these pedophiles tortured and murdered and ritually killed? Can you imagine how much healing would come as they pick up stones to take some pedophile and bash them in and get rid of them? People today are such squeamish little pussies. They really are.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, by doing that, you've made the people part of the process. We've alienated ourselves completely from almost every process there is. We send our kids off to school thinking somebody else can do a better job. We send them to the hospital thinking somebody else is going to take care of our loved ones, when the truth of the matter is, no, they're not. They're just a hunk of meat in the system. I've seen it. I've been to the schools. I've been to the hospitals. I spent a month living in the hospital with my son. I spent 30 days living in the same room with him, and I saw firsthand. And these were accidents. These were not intentional. Sometimes intentional stuff is done, as in the case of some of these people that have all of a sudden had mysterious deaths lately in hospital, including Alan Campbell over in England. So you can't say that in hospital you're safe. No, you're not. I lived in there for 30 days, and one night, actually got to participate in saving my son's life because the nurse had put his TPN feeding tube numbers in the machine wrong, and he ran out of liquid nourishment about 3 o'clock in the morning and went into diabetic shock. So I've lived through this. I've seen it, okay? These institutions are just that, institutions. You cannot assume another person's going to take care of anything as well as family. In fact, I dated a gal here in Florida. Their tradition in their family, and they were from Cuba, their tradition in their family was that no person, no member of the family was ever left unattended in the hospital, ever. A member of the family is sitting beside that bed 24 hours a day. I said, wow. I said, it used to be that way back home where I grew up, but everybody's given up on that today. Everybody thinks that the quote, beast system will take care of things. Yeah, they'll take care of things to the benefit of the beast system, not to you and your family. So these little traditions that we used to have and looking out for each other, they would be reinstituted. No institution is ever going to do as good a job as you and your own family will do. Now, if there's a problem in your family, we have ways of helping to get that fixed as well. But going to big government and institutions is not the answer.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, involving everybody into it would prevent things like what's happening to Fort Daniel Holtzclaw right now. I mean, everybody would have to participate in the if everybody knew that they were going to have to participate not only in the process of them being arrested in the court system, but the actual punishment, whatever that may be, that's going to make everybody in town think about it a little bit. You know, especially if you have a system, you know, how the ins and outs, it's minor details, I don't know, but let's just say you have a system where, okay, the jury is not the people that would have to stone the guy, for instance. Another group of people, whatever, 50, the more, you know, would have to be chosen randomly from the community, and then as your civic duty, you're going to have to come down and help with that. And that would make those people get together, and they're like, you know what, I really don't like the idea of doing this. Well, then you're going to have to explain why you don't like the idea of doing this, okay? You know, is there something wrong? Did the court do something wrong? Well, good, investigate it. Be aware of what's going on. And everybody would be aware. Things would stop before they would get going, is what I'm really getting at, is a lot of stuff, like, for example, the one you gave earlier where your, you know, neighbor went out and he drank a little too much and he crashed into your fence. Families that lived around each other would get together on that and they go, all right, we can call the stuff down here, but you know what that's going to lead to. The first time you've done something like this, let's fix this fence and we'll just keep this between the little family group. You got to live next door to all of us, so you give us hell and it's not going to be good the next time you mess up. And things would be handled a lot more, and that's the way it used to be. That's the way it used to be. People did not rush to government until they had no other choice, until they just didn't know what else to do. Now there's just for reliance on it. Well, if everyone knew, just calling up government doesn't mean all my problems are going to be fixed. That could be a whole other set of problems. Maybe we can handle this on our own. Let's figure this out. And
yeah,
that makes people more self-reliant and lets to a better community. And something else I'd like to mention, along with, we kind of got off on the, the punishment aspect of it, rebalancing the scales. But imagine the benefit on the artistic, philosophical. You talked about how, you know, people that were entrepreneurs, inventors, like, all those things would be welcome. There would be degenerate arts, degenerate art. I mean, you know, I imagine we would free up the airways. You know,
yeah.
No more NBC, ABC. Those guys own everything. Forget that.
Right.
You know,
well, right. The sheriff and the local militia would be there to protect people and their inventions instead of stealing it. You come to Florida with a new invention and a new idea. No more protecting the big corporations typically owned by Jews so that competition is stifled. Remember, the Jews said back in the early 1900s that they considered competition a sin. And so they used their wealth and their political power to stifle competition. Well, the biblical answer to that is competition is what keeps everything running smoothly. Competition keeps you honest. Competition keeps you on top of your game. Competition keeps the oils of the community going, and therefore it would be encouraged instead of stifled. So the system, so to speak, here would be just the opposite of what it is everywhere else. Every power under the biblical monarch would be used to protect people who have inventions or new methodologies to fix things. Instead of the way it is today, and it would flourish. I'm going to tell you something. Florida would become a mecca, and it would astound the world what's out there available right now, but people are afraid. I've talked to inventors who have tremendous inventions to share with us, but they're afraid. They realize that in this current system, somebody would steal it, and typically it's a Jew. They would steal it and use it for their benefit, and they would be left out in the cold. Well, that isn't going to happen in Florida. I also wanted to mention another aspect on the court system real quick. We left it out, and it's very, very important. There is a biblical law that says that under oath in the court, if you lie and your lie causes an innocent person to be punished, when you're found out, you will have the same punishment as the defendant. As an example, let's say, Jay, that you're on trial for killing a person on a traffic stop. Okay? There's a witness that takes the stand and says, yeah, I saw Jay do it. At some point during the trial, we learn from two other witnesses that that's not true. They came forward because they were in the woods seeing what would happen, and what the witness said is not true, that Jay actually was in self-defense because the person had pulled a weapon on him. The person that made that first statement that you had done the killing would then himself be executed, because the punishment for murder is death. And since that person lied under oath, if they had succeeded, you would have been wrongfully executed by us. Therefore, that person who knowingly lied under oath would be taken out behind the courthouse, and the public would be welcome to see it, and that perjury person would be executed. Do you think the court system would clean up if that were the practice, the biblical practice in the court system today? Do you think that the lawyers, the judges, the prosecutors, and the law enforcement officers that lie, and the government officials that lie routinely, do you think they would still do that if that was the punishment?
Oh, no. No, and I can tell you right now, the current philosophy is, well, we don't punish people or ever arrest or charge anybody for false statements or making false police reports because then they're reluctant to tell the truth later. I'm going to tell you right now, that's an object failure. That philosophy is a disaster. So, yeah, I think in the long run, yeah, it would stop the problem. It would stop the problem. People would be thinking twice about doing that stuff fast.
Now, what's Daniel's last name, the police officer in Oklahoma City that's being, he was sentenced to some absolutely ridiculous, like 300 years or something?
Under 36 years. Daniel Holtzclaw.
Holtzclaw. Okay, now, let's take Daniel's case in Oklahoma City. There's what, 12, 15 women accusing him of rape? Now,
to put it in a proper context, I know you're going to say something about these other ones. Originally, there was 21 of them or 27 of them, but they figured out that like 9 of them, which is, their stories were so ridiculous. They're like, okay, these people are obviously lying.
Well, what do you think would happen if that trial was happening in Florida, and the official from the Monarch's office of purity or honesty in court cases, the ombudsman from Tallahassee, were to come down into the courtroom and take those women into a room off to the side and remind them that if you are caught lying, you will be executed. What do you think would happen? You know, none of this false act. No. Because Daniel would be executed in Florida for rape. So you ladies need to understand something. If at any point in time we find out that you lied, you will be drugged before a jury, and when found guilty, you will be hung by the neck. Do you think that might change some testimonies?
Oh, right away. I think what would actually happen is a bunch, almost all of them, would probably not want anything to do with it because their friggin' stories are just ridiculous. But then your representative from the office that you said would be going over to the detectives and going, hey, what the hell are you doing? How did this happen? Now you're kind of in trouble. Even the fact that they let it get that far.
Well, see, that's the problem we have today. The good peace officers and the people within the law enforcement that do know the right and wrong, who do know that there's things that need to be cleaned up, they're not supported. And that's what would change in Florida. The good, honest, biblically-based police officers would have 100% backing in every way, shape, and form. However, if you step out of line wearing that badge, you will be hunted down even harder than the civilians will. Even harder, because the one thing that would not be tolerated is anybody within the monarch's system of government. Dishonesty, theft, rape, murder, lying, those things would not be tolerated. You want to talk about a zero tolerance? Now, there's zero tolerance with those that wear badges and uniforms. There's zero tolerance with anybody with any kind of civil authority within the state. So you want to use your position to gain sexual favors or money or bribes or whatever, the power of the monarchy will come down on you twice as hard as it does the regular people, because that will not be tolerated. Do you think that would make a difference in Florida?
And you know what, for anybody that might be cops listening, you know, some listen to this and they might say that, God, it's hard enough to be a cop now, you're going to make it twice as hard. And I would retort with, think about it, you're not chasing around the same amount of stuff you were. It's actually a lot easier to be a cop, and you're more likely to be appreciated being an officer, because if every one of your citizens has the ability to make an arrest and empowered, has been trained or whatever a little bit, deputized, these guys are going to have an understanding what it's like to be you, a much better understanding of what it's like to be you. You're going to have a closer connection with them, and they're going to be understanding. What would be considered, like, there's so many petty violations, that stuff would go away. Like the cops that get fired for, you know, wearing Confederate flag boxer shorts, getting photographed swinging off a rope swing. I don't like to get into that, but yeah. But that stuff would all go away. Not to worry about that anymore. Just don't lie and don't false imprison nobody. And the citizens in your town, appreciate the citizens in your town, have a connection with them, and they'll look out for you.
Amen to that. We've got a caller. Do you want to take it?
Sure.
Hi, Pastor.
Okay, Southern California, you're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor, and the guest.
Jay.
Jay?
Yeah.
As you guys were talking about, the rape victims and things of this nature, it brought me to Trump. They brought women come out of the woodwork to say Trump did this and Trump did that. And he said he didn't even know some of them. But, you know, you had, and that, what the heck is that, lawyer, Albright or something like that? She was part of the act, you know, bringing them forward. And I was just wondering, now, they were doing that, of course, to try and get the people to say, well, we don't want to vote for him because he's a whoremonger. And he did say that, you know, he didn't know half of them. So I was wondering what you guys would think on that issue, because you brought up a very interesting thought. Because, and there's another thing I would like you to talk about. For instance, when somebody robs me and they rob me of, let's say, $5,000-$10,000 worth of stuff, and they're caught, okay, it appears like they get fined and sent to prison. How does that help me?
It doesn't, and that's why it would change.
You know, what they should do is the money that they fined him should come to me. You know,
And
I understand in the old days, they used to have to work for me until the fine was paid off.
That's correct.
So maybe you guys...
It shouldn't be just what was stolen from you. You're inconvenienced now. Pastor Dan, you were telling me something about this. If you stole a cow, you would not only have to return that check, you'd have to return two cows back in the day. How would $10,000 stolen from the man, on a biblical law, rough estimate, how do you think that would work as far as...
Yeah, there's different levels all the way from double back to all the way up to five times. It depends, like in the case of a car, if the car is returned in working order, then the punishment is a second car. If they destroyed the car, it can go all the way up to five additional cars. So there's some stipulations, but in Gary's case here, it would be fairly straightforward. The person found guilty would have to return the original 10, and then there would be another $10,000 as punishment. If they could not sell something or pay it, then they would become a servant to Gary to work off that debt, either working for him directly or getting a job and turning over their paycheck. There might be a small stipend taken out of it for living expenses, but the rest of it would go to Gary until the debt is paid, or until such time Gary feels that repentance has come and remorse is shown, and maybe he would want to show mercy to the thief. Those kinds of things did happen. Mercy could be shown. In fact, even in a capital case, if the family of the victim felt that there was sincere remorse, they may decide to show mercy. So, but the only people that can show mercy are the victims, not the state, not the government, not law enforcement, not lawyers, not judges, not politicians. No, 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 no. Only the victims get to do that.
Well, you know, that brings to my mind some guys from India got into my computer and stole my stuff and started to write, you know, get stuff. My bank all of a sudden said, wait a minute, we found out this. Because they found out it was their fault because they should have been on it a little earlier, they automatically on their own took up and paid for the debit that was put on my card by these Hindus. And our government is so quick to take our money when we're fined. Why aren't they using that money to go after these people in foreign countries that are coming over here and using the fiber network to steal our money? Why isn't something happening there? And then I see what happened to, like I was telling you about Trump, with all these false accusations going against him just for politics. How would that work?
May I interject on that one?
Sure, go ahead.
I imagine this is how it would go down like this. Let's say Dan would call me and say I was the cop or whatever in that town where that happened, where Trump was, I'm going to do the false allegation. Trump had false allegations put against him. Well, those girls have just accused a man of a crime that he could be murdered or he could be put to death for. So at that point, those girls have just entered into that. And I mean, they got to go as far as making it official. They got to give a statement. They've got to make it official that they are making that accusation. And I'm going to investigate it. I'm going to start working it. And if in my investigation, it turns out that these bitches completely tasteless and absolute lie, then under that law, yeah, those girls can be put to death. And as Pastor Dan says, well, the victim has ultimate power. So Trump is the victim. If he's the victim, if he wants to show mercy, then that'll be taken into account. But also, that lawyer that ran up and represented him, or we wouldn't necessarily have the lawyer, but this might be somebody that's behind all of them, encouraging them.
Woman lawyer.
Found out they're just as guilty, too. They're pushing it.
Yeah, all that would... all that would come out in the trial against the person that committed perjury. We'd have a separate trial, and the person that committed perjury would be on trial for their life. And so then that's like what Jay was saying. If the person on trial could say, well, I was put up to it by such and such individual, then that individual is now part of that investigation and trial. And then the jury's watching all this stuff, and the jury will decide innocence or guilt.
Well, you know, I can see the public right now, oh, she didn't hurt anybody. Why do you want to hang her? Well, you know, how did it hurt Trump? Well, I mean, you hurt the man's integrity. He's running for a public office and all that. You didn't hurt him? You see, how do you measure injury?
You measure injury by, first of all, if Trump's in Florida, then he'd be arrested, as Jay said, and because of these formal accusations, he'd be on trial for rape, which means it's a capital case. So there's the injury. He's on trial. If he's found guilty, he will die. All right? So there is injury there. If he doesn't come into the state of Florida, of course, the injury is to his political career, and he'll have to handle it in some other state. And good luck with that one. Let me know how that works out for you. But
yeah,
at least in Florida.
What about the guy that comes into your computer, steals your information, and he's from another country? How do we deal with that?
Being from another country is not going to do. It's not going to change a damn thing. In fact, as an alien, he will be persecuted as hard or even harder. Go ahead, Jay.
I would say, given the fact that, you know, along with these punishment aspects, he's talking about no more all these taxes, no more all these rules. I mean, people can come here and start a business. They can start a television station. Eventually, the place that is under this kind of law, it would become a metropolis. It would just become it would be a high-running economy. It would be a wonderful place to live. It would be a powerful nation. It really would. It'd be a nation on its own. And other countries are going to want to have friendly relations with that nation. And we would investigate it and say, we called the other country country say, look, we got a warrant for these guys in your country that are running scams on our people online. Pack them up and send them to us, or we're not going to do business with you. We got them right here. You're not going to give these people to us that are committing this crime, or punish them in your country in a way that my victim is satisfied, then, you know, that's going to be a problem. We can't do business with you. You know, you're letting criminals run around the country and be associated with that.
And
that's how that would work, I would think.
It does work that way, Jay, because we actually have had a case where that happened. Remember when we first started bringing a lot of this junk from China into our country? I believe it was paint. They found paint or something had high levels of lead in it. Okay. What did China do to the man that was in charge of that department back in China? What did they do to him? Do you remember?
They put him to death. They arrested him.
Yeah, they shot him.
Yeah.
They shot him. So China said that losing the business here in the United States wasn't worth it, and they took the guy out and executed him. So we have a real-life case where what you're talking about would be exactly what happens. And you got to remember another thing. Aliens will have no power in our nation, in our Florida nation. Aliens will be here on visas. They will be here to learn. The visas will have an expiration date, then they will go back home. They won't have the access to our businesses and our people the way they have it today. Today, we're open-bordered. We have no restraints. We have people here, again, with driver's licenses that can't even speak English or read English. Ludicrous. All that's going to end. We're going to go back to the biblical basis. Aliens can come here and visit. They can come here to get an education, or they can learn how to start a business back in their own lands. They can come here to learn about Yahweh's law. But you know what? The visa does run out, and you're supposed to go back home with that knowledge and make your country a better place to live and get the hell out of mine. All right? We've got no problem teaching you, but the idea is that you're going to take that knowledge back to your lands and make your lands a better place. Okay? Not staying here to be there is no more welfare. There is no more entitlements. There are no more government-run programs of any kind, because the government is the worst manager of any program, okay? The government sucks at everything they do. So there will be no government-run subsidies of any kind, none. And what people don't say, you know, it won't take very long, Jay and Gary, before the word gets out that if you're a hard worker and you keep your nose clean, man, you want to go to Florida, because you're going to get paid $20-$30 an hour, and you're going to take home $20-$30 an hour. Nobody's going to touch your paycheck. There's not going to be any payroll deductions whatsoever. There's not going to be any more scams, because now instead of letting these Jewish scam artists into our country and into our states, the monarch is going to have special committees to go after them.
That's right.
No more of these shysters and Ponzi schemes are going to be allowed in our nation state.
Pastor, I was just wondering, I think we got this from you on one of your emails, and by the way, we really enjoy them. The Frankfurt School, they came over here, education, and everybody, we like education, and they end up setting up in Hollywood. They teach communism. How would our state deal with that? Somebody coming over and teaching it. Actually, it's treason.
Well, first of all, the guys from the Frankfurt School were Jews, and they will have no power whatsoever. In fact, there may even be a rule that they're not allowed on our shores, which is a biblical concept. They go to Obadiah 18. Actually, they're not even supposed to exist, so for sure they wouldn't be allowed in here. But even if they weren't Jews, if they came in here with a foreign idea like that, I believe that's covered under the Bible, and it's called blasphemy. And the last time I checked, the punishment for blasphemy is execution.
Yeah, I think they probably wouldn't do that if they saw one of their Jewish buddies hanging from a pole, you know, for doing that. They probably would change their mind.
Well, you know, it's like when I was traveling down through Texas, and I went along this very large acreage farm, and it had fence row after mile after mile after mile. And all of a sudden I see this tree, and there's coyotes hanging in it. I mean, there must have been at least 15 hanging in this tree.
And then there was like 20 miles later, I saw another ranch where there was a big old tree and there's these coyotes hanging in the tree. So when I stopped to get a bite to eat, I asked one of the locals, I said, what's the deal with all these coyotes hanging in trees? And they said it's to keep the other coyotes away. So it sends a message. It sends a message. That's why, as Jay stated, all through the biblical times, all through the times when our nations were actually run properly, executions were performed publicly because it sends a message. If you want to come in here and do harm to my people, here's what we will do to you. You're not going to spend life in prison. You're not going to get 5-6 years of appeals and sit in a prison and we got to feed you and clothe you and give you No. You're going to end up like the coyote. All right? That's the message. I'm going to tell you, it works. You want to see something turn around and become a paradise on earth? Let's just do it God's way. We're not doing it now. I say let's give God's way a chance, and you watch and see, because like my dad used to say, you can't argue with success.
Pastor,
Florida State, Florida Nation.
When you were talking about the coyotes hanging from trees down there by the border, and you know where I'm going with this one, what happens when you see somebody from another country, you know, breaking through our border, coming over here to get what they call it, oh, he just wants a job. No, because if he gets a job, he's stealing, because that's my job. So they're stealing, and if somebody wants to hire a bunch of these guys, I think they should stand culpable also for enticing such a deal. You know, well, I'll pay you guys $3 an hour. I know that if I pay Americans, they're $10 an hour, but I'll give you $3, you can come on over and do work. That guy's this.
Well, somebody coming across the border like that, let me ask you a question. Back in World War II, if you had to go into a foreign country and you did not have an American uniform on, how were you treated by the foreign country?
They'd shoot you.
No, you were considered a spy, because if you were an enemy combatant, you would have a uniform on and properly identify yourself as an enemy of this country. So when you come in with plain clothes on, you are a pretender, therefore it's assumed that you're a spy up to no good. And so the foreign alien coming in here would be treated as a spy.
What about the guys who want to hire them?
There'd be nothing for them. They couldn't get a job. You would not be allowed until employment for the people of that nation, for the European people that are living in that nation, until employment is at zero.
We
need more people to work a job. Then we'll discuss employing somebody else, but most likely you'll be in big trouble if you employ somebody that's an illegal. You'll be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, if you employ these people, then you're aiding and abetting spies, which makes you what? The same thing. You would be treated as a traitor because you have allowed spies to be housed and given aid and abetting spies in our land. So you would be treated as a traitor. And last time I checked, what's the punishment for treason?
It's called neck stretching.
Yeah, it's called death. So I don't think there'd be much treason going on. You see, here's what's wrong in the country today.
The Goldbergs, remember them?
Well, the Rosenbergs and Pollards, all the worst of spies that have done the most damage to this country, every single one of them was a damn Jew. Here's what people don't understand. Everything in this world that our Heavenly Father created works on a check and balance system and an incentive system. And the whole idea behind his laws were to give incentive for proper behavior and also to, dissuade bad behavior. And the reason we have so much bad behavior is because the Jews have done their magic in our government. They have infiltrated it, and since they are demented, demonic people, they have turned this country into the same thing because they took away our incentives to stop bad behavior. So the answer to the problem is to reinstitute the incentives for bad behavior. You know, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child, okay?
Right. Well, There's 27 men or people that have been murdered behind Hillary Clinton, but she's above the law. And that's what you were just explaining. Well, Tillery and Bill.
Not in Florida.
No, I think they would pay the price. From what?
They'll be arrested. You could arrest them. Jay could arrest them. I could arrest them.
I think Jay would like that.
Jay's not alone. Let me tell you, when I know this was a false thing, but remember about a year ago, there was a thing came out said there was like a $16 million bounty on George Soros. I was contacted by veterans asking me if that was for real. And when I asked them, why are you asking me if that's for real? They said, because I have about five or six buddies and we would like to get that $16 million. So basically they were saying if there was a $16 million bounty on that piece of dog meat, we have the guys that could get them. So in our Florida nation, let me tell you, troublemakers are not going to do well.
That guy is still standing, you know. We got enough guys to do like you just stated, but there's something protecting that Soros right now.
Well, there's no incentive. What government is actually going to stand behind the guys that can get it done? Because the governments have all been infiltrated. I've said that. Large central government is our problem, not our solution. They're all in on it. This is all staged. That's why the Bible says that Babylon, this Babylonian system, is going to burn in a very short period of time. And who's doing the weeping and wailing? The weeping and wailing is the kings and princes. That's a biblical way of saying those in government, along with the merchants, are doing the weeping and wailing. You and I aren't. The sheep are out there hosting up bottles of beer and champagne, having a grand old time as Babylon burns, because Babylon is the cause of all of our problems.
And I'll say this, I'll add this in, you know, in this land he's talking about, we're going to give Hollywood and every other media organization a run for our money, because the stuff that's going to be put out from that nation is going to be, everyone's going to watch. You know, right now, everybody knows the Jews control Hollywood. We don't realize how much of the publishing companies they control. And there are so many good stories, history books, information that's been out there since the 50s that guys could never get published. They would never print. They would never put the show together that they wanted to do, because they wouldn't make the controllers, it would make the Jews and all them look really bad.
Well,
that's going to be out the window. All that kind of stuff. We're going to start putting out anti-Hollywood Trump. We're going to put out our own information. And trust me, people will want the stuff coming out of that, our nation, way more than they'll want what's coming out of Hollywood. Everyone's thinking what's coming out of there.
Well, to prove your point and Pastor Dan's point, there's a TV station out there, Fox, and they put out probably one-tenth truth versus the others put out no truth. And look what's happened. Foxes went really popular, really wild, and we got a guy that shouldn't be president that's in as president based on that particular network, Fox, because they give a little bit of the truth, and people love that versus and with CNN and all the other ones. They give lies, and you can see it. So to show how what you guys are saying will do that, just look at that news network that only gives a small portion of the truth. And it's done very well.
Yeah. One stuff would have 100% truth coming out. I mean, the stories that could come out. I mean, God, for all my young guys that like to play video games, I've seen it in countless rooms where guys talking about it. Everybody loves World War II games. But everybody wants to see, they have a game series called Medal of Honor. Guys for years have been talking about, I wish they would release a Knight's Cross so they could fight from the German side with the correct history of how it really went down. All that stuff would be available. There would be no more controls, none of this. Well, that's not politically correct. As long as it's not pushing something that that would, under God's law, would be seen as really degenerate, then go. Make it.
Yeah,
make a profit. I hope everybody buys it.
Well, the biggest thing that will make Florida Nation a better place and a place for people will want to come is the fact that the Jews are outlawed. Okay, this is a no-Jew zone because that's a biblical law. And even our founding fathers, believe it or not, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, and others said that they should never be allowed in here. They saw what these these demonic creatures did to Europe all through the centuries, all right? They knew history, unlike most uneducated morons today and all the snowflakes. The founding fathers were well-read and well-studied men, and they very specifically said, they, in fact, Benjamin Franklin said that should be an amendment to the Constitution, that we specifically do not allow these creatures into our land. So Florida Nation will reinstitute what Benjamin Franklin and George Washington and all the rest of them said. This will be a no-Jew zone, all right? You're not welcome. No, none of you. You leave.
Be like the Nuremberg laws. Be like reinserting the Nuremberg laws would be no Jews, and everybody that's from that land and from that race are the ones that get special are the ones that get protection and get the special status. If you're from an ethnic European and you're born and raised in that land, you're a citizen. You get the special protection. These other people.
Well, it's right, because nation comes from the Latin word that means race or family. So Florida Nation will be for the original family that the founders were, which is European, pretty much, basically say Caucasian, because some of them came from places other than Europe, but they were still Caucasian. So our family will be the people in charge and in power. And again, other people will be welcome to come here and learn, or to be taught, or to be educated, or to be trained, or to visit, or to find out how things should be done, whatever you want to call it. They're welcome to come here. We have no animosity. In fact, I've even thought about it. We talked about Cuba and what should be done there. The Cubans were betrayed by elements of our government, and Alan Dulles, the Jew, and his Jewish people were behind the treason against the Cuban people. That was not John F. Kennedy. He gets the blame, but it was Alan Dulles that was actually behind that. Okay, so the Cubans were betrayed. So let's make it right, guys. We will send a army of volunteers from Florida. We will ship them to Cuba, and they will go and help the freedom fighters from Florida, because a lot of them came here because they realized it was treason and Fidel Castro was a freaking communist. So they came here. All right, I talked to a lot of them. They would love to go back there, but they can't go back there under the current system. Well, let's help them. Let's form an army. I know tens of thousands of Cubans who would love to go back and kick the communists' ass and regain their land. Regain their lands. Think about how beautiful that would be if a Christian army from Florida went down with our Cuban cousins and they retook Cuba and turned it back into the paradise it was. See how it could work? So now we have an ally right across only 80 miles off our border here in Florida. We have another country that's built on God's law, and Cuba would be returned to the Cuban people. I think that would be tremendous, and it would turn back into a paradise, and we would help them round up every communist and execute them. I think that would be a great message to the world. Here's what we think of your Jewish Zionist communism, and we could take and show pictures of them being lined up and executed. I think that would be a wonderful thing.
Well, I know that the senator...
The funniest thing is... Go ahead, man. Your talk. Go ahead.
Well, I know the senator from Florida there, the Cuban, he sort of goes along with what Pastor Dan is saying there. You know, he's ready.
You talking about Marco Rubio?
Yeah.
Let's keep in mind, Marco Rubio is one of the guys that authored... H.R. 62, which is a bill that they've tried to pass through Congress three times, that's about investigating anti-Semitism in Europe, how it's a threat.
Well, Marco Rubio, I have no time for Marco Rubio.
No, what I'm saying is he believes in some of what you're saying, you know, free the Cuban people. I mean, I wouldn't trust him too far. But
well,
he does believe in that.
He's a crypto Jew, all right? Whether he's actually Jewish heritage or not, he's doing the work of the Jew, which makes him a proselyte. So he's a crypto Jew. So Marco Rubio, no, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. But anyway,
something I think we would notice real fast is everybody that we think has political power right now would all of a sudden not have it anymore, because there would be no more protections. We'd be able to investigate these guys. SL, what is it? All these GMOs, NGOs, non-governmental organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL and things like that, they'd be banned. They would not be allowed to be there.
The members of the Southern Poverty Law Centers will have warrants out for them, especially Morris D's and anybody else that has to do with the organization. There will be warrants for them. So if they want to come to Florida Nation, you're welcome, guys, because actually we want to test our criminal justice system out. So you guys come on down to Florida so we can arrest you.
I'm afraid that the system that you're talking about will probably spread to other states real quick.
Fast.
Well, there's no doubt that it will.
It's California. That's where we need it to spread to.
Well, we got to start somewhere, and Yahweh's going to open the door here in Florida Nation. We're going to start here and show everybody how to do it right. We're almost out of time, Gary, so we got to any final comment?
Well, I like what you guys are talking about today, and that's great. Like I said, starts in Florida. I know Texas is closed. It's got some problems. But, man, California is a communist state, and we need help. So talk about that a little bit, and we sure appreciate it. And Yahweh bless all of you guys, and have a good day.
Thank you.
All right, Gary. Yahweh bless. All right, Jay, that was probably the fastest 2 hours I think I've ever had on radio. So, and we're almost out of time. So any closing comments?
Hey, you know, look at that first call. We got an exciting topic. People need to hear this. I hope, you know, your folk radio will post it up on the YouTube channel because it's never been heard, the idea that actually a nation run under biblical law would actually be a very free nation, would actually be pretty close to libertarianism. But at the same time, with that correct amount of national socialism that people want that would encourage family development, pride, and nationalism for your race and your people right there. It's almost the perfect blend of the two coming together. And it's what people are looking for.
Amen. Amen. Okay, with that, we're going to have to close. Maybe we'll have to do a part two or something if you have more things on your notepad there. But for today, we're going to have to shut her down, and I'll put this up on Eurofolk Radio to play at 1:30 this afternoon.
Awesome.
All right, Jay, thanks a lot for being on. Folks, again, this is Jay, the co-host of Downtown White Police, the YouTube channel, Downtown White Police. Dear Heavenly Father, we certainly hope that you will bless us in this regard. This is something, a time that has come. If you will open the door, we'll run through it, Father. I know it could be dangerous. There's certainly many enemies against us, but Psalm 91 and many other places in the Bible, you've said you'll stand with those who stand for you. So Jay and I are committed, and all of the people that we know. If you will open the door, Father, open the door for us, and we will take Florida and make it a nation for Yahweh, an example to the world, just as Iceland has done, Spain has done, Hungary has done, and other nations are starting to rise up. Let us be a beacon. Let us be truly a light on a hill to show what can be done if people would just choose you over this demonic system we have today. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Amen.